Genesis, just we're going to start in chapter 1, but the purpose of this teaching is years ago, for example, when I was in my teenagers, you know, and you always heard Jesus Christ is our Savior, right? And I always wonder, well, what am I saved from? Right? I guess other people might have had that thought. Because you're like, what am I saved from? I'm doing well, or you figure out you're doing good. Things are pretty good. So we're going to look at what we are saved from, what Adam lost, what Jesus Christ regained for us, what we have in him. So the best place to start is in the beginning, because it gives us the context. Because once you see the beginning, in Genesis, what Adam did, what God did first, what he did, and the results of what he did, the rest of the Bible is basically based on the promised seed of Jesus Christ coming, and then later on he came, and what he provided for us, and God provided for us in Christ Jesus. So, and we're not going to cover the whole Bible, so just don't get, even though I have 20 pages here. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1. That's sort of the intro. So chapter 1, just verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it tells us here who, what, who God created, and then what he did, he created. It was God, who, what he did, and when. So this interprets itself right in the verse, right? So it's God. So right there, everything from here on is, you'll see it's about God, what he did. And then as you go down, and we're not going to read every verse in here, but after he created the heavens and earth, it said became without form and void, became that way. We're not getting to that teaching. That's when Lucifer fell and all that. So then the next verse, and then God said. And then after that, it said God called. He said, he called, he said, and it says it was so, it was so, it was so, whatever he said was so. So it establishes the integrity of God's word. What he says is, right? Was, will be. So that just establishes that. Now let's get, we're just going to cover how he formed, made, and created man. And we're going to see some neat things here. We're going to start how he formed man first on chapter 2, verse 7. And God formed man of the dust of the ground. Chapter 2, verse 7. So he formed the dust of the ground. Well, the dust of the ground was created in the beginning, right? He created the heavens and the earth. So he had something to work with. So that means he formed something that out of something that already existed, which was dirt. And the elements of the earth is in our bodies, and we all know that. Now, the function of the body, right? So we have the function, we created, formed the body. So the body comes in contact with the physical, right? We have seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, the five senses. The body's the form. It was the outward piece of us, if you will. It's our house, you know, in a sense, if you were to think of it. You know, it's the frame. And we're going to use this as an example, too. So we got a cell phone. It's the infrastructure, the housing of this is all one piece, right? It's formed. There's a form, they make it, but it doesn't do anything, right, at that point. So let's read on here. And then it says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when did he become a living soul? It's after he got breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So the function of the soul is the personality, you, who you are. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Like your mind processes things, right? Makes decisions. Emotions, you have emotions of fear, anger, happiness, sadness, so forth, right? And your will, you have a free will to say yes or no. To choose or not to choose, right? So he's given man that capability, free will, and that body that he can move around in, and he can, the senses bring information to the mind, so then anything that comes within it's within the physical world, you can learn about, and it's through the five senses, right? So that's how he set the body and the soul up. And remember, the word soul is the word nephesh. And then we'll come back to that later on. It's a Hebrew word, nephesh. So the soul is what gives the body life, just so we remember that. Because a lot of times you may hear on teaching, or even some people get it fouled up, like the soul's eternal, or, you know, and all that stuff. But let's go with the Word of God, see what the Word of God defines everything here. And it keeps it real simple. So soul gives what, it's a personality, gives the body life. So this cell phone, as an example, has a structure here. What gives life is when we plug the battery in it, right? Then you can use the functions of the body. You can use the hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting. Same thing on the body, right? So now we only have two parts, to that cell phone and to the body. Now we're going to number three here. Well, let's go first. And there's a question is, where is the soul life, right? Where's the life of the soul? Because you can't see it, right? You can see the body. So let's go to Leviticus. We've all been there, but it's 17:11. It's maybe a refresher, but it's good to see how this stuff works. So Leviticus 17:11. All right, get there now. Okay. It says, for the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Right? Now go down to verse 13. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it, referring to the blood, is the life and of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall not eat of the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of the all flesh is in the blood thereof. So it sort of makes a little emphasis here, right? The life of all flesh is in the blood. That includes animals, right? Because we see in Genesis 1:20, he created whales, created great wheels. The world creatures is nephesh, soul life. So that's when soul life was originally created. So when he created man, he breathed into him, it was already there to soul life was created at the beginning. So as we see here, so the life of the flesh is in the blood. So God formed the body, breathed into it the breath of life, and the life of that flesh is in the blood. So now the next question is, so how's that life passed down, right? That's a good question, right? So from generation to generation, right? So let's look at Acts 17. It's passed through the blood, it says, because the life is in the blood. And Acts 17 actually has a nice clear verse on this. 17:26. So it says, and he and hath made, let's talk about God. God hath made of one blood, uno, right? Uno blood. All nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. It's the one blood, and it's the one blood we saw in Genesis from Adam, right? Look at Genesis. Let's go back, chapter 5, and we'll just clear it. See the scriptures on this. Let's look at Genesis 5 and look at verse 1. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. So what was God's likeness? His spirit, says John 4:24. God is spirit. So God originally created man in the likeness of him. And it says it in Genesis. So originally, now look at verse 2. Male and female created he them, blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day they were created. So it summarizes what he did in Genesis. Now, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness, after his image. Well, at that point, we're going to see his likeness and image was body, soul. And we're going to go back into Genesis and see how he was originally formed, made, and created. Created with spirit. He had a body, a soul. But let's go back and see how he changed his image. He had a PR man. He changed his whole image, you know. That's what they do, right? So, just to reiterate in chapter 1, verse 27, so it says, so God created man in his image. The image of God created he them. Male, female created he them. So, it just tells you that God created man. That's the third part. And then also, part with that spirit part of man, it says, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moveth on the earth. So God gave them dominion. So we had the spirit man basically enable him to have dominion over everything. So now, verse 16 of chapter 2. And God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. The verse before it says, and God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Keep it means to guard, all right? So that was his responsibility other than that. And then he named the animals, it said, and so forth. Verse 16, and God commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, of every tree. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Emphasis, thou shalt surely die. When? In that day. We saw in Genesis, whatever God says is, right? So if that condition was broken in that day, he would die. It doesn't say what died, does it? So we can't speculate at this point here, right? But we're going to summarize it from the scriptures. We're going to see how that worked out. So let's just fast forward to Genesis 3. We're not going to read the whole record, but 3:6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes. So there she went by the five senses that she was given for the body, right? See, smell, hear, taste, touch. And the tree to desire, right? To make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. He also, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So did they fulfill that condition? No, they broke the commandment, right? So at that point, they should have died, right? But then we read in Genesis 5, Adam lived 950 years later. So we know his body and soul didn't die. But the key was he had a son after his likeness in his image, which was Seth. After Adam's likeness image. So his image at that point was body, soul. Okay. And also here, there's another passage in, I think it's Corinthians, says the woman was deceived with not Adam. Adam was not deceived when he ate the fruit. Now she got deceived. We read the whole record there, but she gave it to him. And he just ate it. He knew. So it's willful disobedience. He had a free will, part of his soul part of him. He can make decisions. And he willfully decided not to leave God. Okay. So that settles all that. Now we're going to move on. So what's the result of that? What's the consequences of Adam's sin? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. We'll go there. So some of the consequences, just the recap, is he lost his dominion. He lost his connection with God. So now we go back to my cell phone here. So the cell phone has a body, right? It's the structure of this, right? The soul was the battery. It keeps it running, keeps the body running, right? So you can do things. I can do it with my calculator. I can do things within this phone, not outside of the phone, right? But spirit, he lost the connection. He lost his internet connection. If you will, think of it. He lost the connection to God. There was no connection to God there. Just like here, there's no connection. So when you go, when I talk to my son in Vegas, a lot of times he's drive along, and in Vegas, you go between a mountain or whatever, and you lose the connection. Right? So it's similar to that, but he lost it permanently because it was conditional. His spirit was given a condition. If thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So just to clear that up. So Corinthians, what did I say it was?
2:14.
That's it. So he says, but the natural, now he was a natural man. So now the natural man is the man of body and soul. Receiveth, see, not the things of the Spirit of God. The connection's cut, right? Because to receive it, you need a receiver. The receiver was spirit. Just like to receive information on his phone, a text message, I need a receiver. I need connection, an internet connection, if you will, right? Or Wi-Fi or whatever. And you don't see the connection, right? It's invisible. You don't see it, but it works, right? Same thing with spirit. So it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He can't know them. You can't know spiritual things by seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, or touching, or by reasoning and rationalizing. So that's basically gives a definition of what the natural man and what man was after Adam fell, right? Some of the consequences. Look at some of the more consequences here in Romans. So look at Romans 5. It does tell you in after he fell that he was afraid, right? And he was ashamed. So guilt came in the world. The ground was cursed, so forth. But here, 5, it goes into more detail here. But if you don't know Genesis, if you didn't read Genesis, Romans won't open up too much to you. Won't be real clear to you. So now, hopefully, it's clear if we had a little foundation there. So chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So death passed upon, how did it pass upon? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Through the bloodline of Adam, it passed to all men. Right? We saw that. That's how people are born, right? Through the bloodline. So that's how, by one man, sin and death by sin. Now, the death it's talking about here, there's three forms of death here, right? So let's go look at, keep your finger there. Look at Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Because it does it say what death? But there are three types of death here. And Ephesians, we're talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's written to them, so we know, you have to know who it's written to. And verse 1 of chapter 2, when he's talking to them in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he's talking to live people, but he's telling them at one point you were dead. Okay? Because in verse 13 of chapter 1 says, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So they were born again, but it was just telling them at that one time, without God, without hope and all that, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And look at verse 5. See, even when we were dead in sins, hath he made us alive with Christ. So right here, part of the death was it's that spiritual death, right? We lost connection to God. And then there's a physical death. Remember, Adam died 950 years later, so he died spiritually first, and they died physically. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And the context of this is the hope, the return. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 21. For since by man came death, By man came also the resurrection from the death. So what's the context? Resurrection from death means the body, soul man's gone, right? We have a dead soul there, right? Look at verse 22. For in as in Adam, what? All die. All without exception. All men, right? Of the line of Adam. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All with distinction, right? It means all that had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's not everybody believes on him. So that's pretty neat there. So it's a physical death, spiritual death, but there is another death. Sometimes Romans 8:6. Remember when death was separation from God, right? When Adam was separated from God, he called it death, and that day you shall surely die. But look at Romans 8:6. It says, for to be carnally minded is what? Spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's carnally minded, it's in physical death. It's not spiritual death, but it's alienation from God. When you're born again and you're alienated from God, it's like living misery. You're living in a sinful life and you're living in a way below par life, right, than God has made available. So it's mentally, it's your alienation from God. Just to throw that in there. That's just three. So in Romans, let's go back there. And we're going to look at Romans 5:18. These are the results of two acts, if you will. This is what it tells you here. In verse 17, it tells you the act. There was an offense. And in 18, it tells you the result of the act. I mean, what he did, he disobeyed, basically, disobedient. So let's verse 17. For if by one man's offense, it should be by one offense. If you see other translations, here's one. Here's a clear translation. It says, Romans NIV says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people who believe regarding Jesus Christ. So it's clear by that one act. That one act was disobedience, right, in the garden. The one righteous act for Jesus Christ was he became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, because he could have been obedient up unto the cross, and you're not getting saved, Jack, right? So he was obedient unto death, the death of the cross, all the way up and through, that righteous act. Now look at verse 19, and I'll read it in the NIV here. You can follow along here. It says, for just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one man, the many were made righteous. So the many, it's talking about through disobedience were all mankind, but the many that were made righteous were the many who believed on Lord Jesus Christ. So see the difference there. The first Adam, we have the second Adam, Jesus Christ is called. So now the Spirit's restored. Let's look at John 3. We're done with Adam here now. Let's look at some good stuff here. We see the damage done. We already have the damage done. We see the problem. God provides a solution to the problem. It was not man, right? Man didn't cause the problem. He caused the problem, but God provides a solution. In John 3, he's talking to Nicodemus. We're not reading their whole record. But in verse 7, Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So, because he's talking to Nicodemus, at the time man was body, soul. So they need to be born again. Look at chapter and verse 16. So how is that going to come about? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those without Holy Spirit and you die, it's called perishing. Done. It's like your apples, they perish, right? It's gone. It turns into dust again, right? And stays there. So look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world through him might be saved. He's the Savior. That's why he's the Savior. Because what Adam lost, God had to send a man to regain. Look at verse 18. So it says, he that believeth on Jesus Christ, is not condemned. Condemned, the death sentence, is not condemned to death, right? But he that believeth is not, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he's already in that state. You have to read it. If you know from Genesis, he's already condemned state. Death passed upon all men. That's it. That's the condition. Because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. This is a good part here. This is good. We're going to go to verse 6, but I'll just read this from 1 Peter. Don't turn there. But 1 Peter says, For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received from the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. See, we were redeemed by the precious blood. He laid down his life as a lamb without spot and blemish. And we are redeemed with the blood. That's what I want to point out here. But the blood of Christ, it refers to the life that Christ gave for mankind. He shed his blood. That's big stuff here. Look at Romans 5, man. 5, verse 6. For when we were without strength, even due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly, right? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the key word here. I got it written down here so I don't mess it up. Right? He died for us. For is the word hooper. In place of, instead of. He died in place of us, instead of us, as our substitute. We didn't have to die. And if you look between Adam and Jesus Christ, Adam was a selfish act. Selfish, right? It's the right word. Like he wanted to be like God. He had everything. He had it all. Dominion. Perfect environment. No sickness, sin, disease, death. And he was selfish. Jesus Christ was selfless. He gave himself. See? That's where we really appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid his life down. He bled, he died, he suffered. When we really hits us, it really makes a powerful impact. Like Michelle taught the other week, when we acknowledge, this word is acknowledged, it has a powerful impact on our lives. It changes how we act, believe, and think. That's why we go over this. We may say, oh, I heard that before. But put it in the context and see the whole picture here. That's how God paints it. So, from there, it says we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man be boast, right? I'm just going to read these to you. You can sit back and relax here. So, and this is just a summary. In Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Christ Jesus. Through him only. He is the way, the truth, the life, right? And 1 John, I have a bunch of other things, but I think we could end it. Yeah, we could. Let's go to 1 John 5. It sort of sums it up pretty good. And we're going to end it in 1 Thessalonians. 1 John 5:23. No, wait, that's a new one. I just made a new one up there. How about 5:11? Let's try 5:11. Just see if you're following along here. There are people paying attention. Very astute, Jay. That's it. 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to who? Us. Talking to the born-again believers. Eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You have the haves and the have-nots, right? But it's very clear. Does this verse interpret itself? Where? Right in the verse where it is written, right? Where 80% of scriptures do, right? So you have the Son, you have life. You have not the Son, you have not life, right? So let's end in 1 Thessalonians. So beginning, we lost, it was Man was created body, soul, spirit. Adam lost the spirit. Jesus Christ regained the spirit. That's why in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. States the following. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray, your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's where it's saying it, because now it's been restored. So he's talking to born-again believers. So the whole key here is understand what Jesus Christ got for us, restored for us, and God through his love, that he laid down his life, Jesus Christ laid his love, shed his blood for us, so that we can have Holy Spirit. We can have that internet connection that never fails, right? It's redundancy built in, right? We got that Holy Spirit. It will never fail. And we can receive information, not just from our five senses, but from the spiritual world, where it's, we can know what to do in situations that's humanly impossible by our five senses to know, because we have our spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. Amen.